Hi, I'm Donna Patton, and I'm here with Pastor Josh Kreppel, and this is another episode of Jesus-Centered Leadership. Today we want to talk about what is discipleship, and how do we look at it in today's world?
Yeah, discipleship is an interesting word that probably has meant lots of things over the years. And so when we talk discipleship, what we're really talking about is kind of what we learn from Jesus and his disciples as they do life together.
Okay, so expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, and so I think when we look at, well, maybe a great place to start is kind of that story of Mary and Martha, right?
Okay.
So Mary and Martha, they have Jesus over to their house. Wouldn't that be cool, have Jesus over to your house? And the sisters kind of have this little sister conflict, right? Mary is sitting there at Jesus' feet, just listening, soaking it all up. And Martha, she's serving. She's hosting the party. She's hosting people. And Martha, maybe rightfully so, gets angry at Mary. Why? Because Mary's just soaking up what Jesus is saying. And then it ends with this great line, because Martha comes to Jesus and Martha says, Mary isn't helping. Jesus, tell her to do it. Make her help me. And what does Jesus say? He says, Mary has chosen what is better. It won't be taken from her. That's great. And so the first thing we have to understand about discipleship is it's sitting at Jesus's feet, learning from him. And so I think we easily miss that being a disciple is sitting at Jesus's feet, learning from him.
So how do we do that? That sounds super easy. Mm-hmm. And I can look at the story and go, that makes sense. But this doing versus being, and how to really grow from it.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, as we look at a church, there's great opportunities here in Bible studies, in small groups. If you don't have a Bible, like, we'll give you a Bible, right? There's an apps, there's devotions online, there's podcasts like this one, or ones that are way better. Like, there's all these opportunities in this world to, like, hear from the Bible and what other people, trusted sources, are saying about the Bible. And I think in that, we sit at Jesus' feet, learn. And obviously, you know, worship. Like, let's not take that for granted either.
Yeah, I think sometimes the getting started can be the hardest part, because you're right. There's a lot of guided ways to get into God's word, but sometimes it's just starting at the Gospels,
right?
And taking even a chapter of Matthew each day, until it becomes maybe more natural.
Yeah. So there was a longtime member at my last church that. This is weird. He would read the Bible in church, but he never read at home. Like, it was the weirdest thing. Like, he would be one of our lay assistants serving communion. He would read the scripture to the congregation, but he never did so at home. And as we were talking about joining Jesus, as we were talking about what are we hearing from God, he was really convicted. Hey, I don't read the Bible in my daily life. And so what he did, he was an engineer, very practical. So what he did is he stuck the Bible by his toilet and he read it in the bathroom, right? And so I think really if we're going to spend some time with Jesus, it's just finding simple little ways to carve out time to hear from him. It doesn't have to be 50 minutes. It doesn't have to be 15 minutes. It can be 5 minutes. It can be 2 minutes every day. But how do we begin to take some time to hear from Jesus? And I think that's so key.
Yeah, that's really great. All right. So what else can we learn from Mary and Martha?
Yeah. So I think the other stand of it, and I think we've got this wrong as a church. We say, well, Mary had it right. Let's just sit and learn from Jesus. Well, not so quick. Jesus didn't say that what Martha was doing was bad. He didn't tell Martha, Martha, sit down and listen like your sister. He didn't say that. He said what? That she's chosen what is better. Don't get me wrong, we're supposed to listen to Jesus, but we're also supposed to go out there and live out our faith. Now, the problem would have been, I bet, if Mary would have sat there and only wanted to listen to the feet of Jesus and didn't go out there and follow him in her life, then that would have been a problem too. And I think so often as Christians, we almost choose one or the other. I've walked with a lot of Christians that really excel at being in Bible study, at being in God's Word. And sometimes those same people, not all the time, but sometimes they struggle in how they actually live it out, in how they serve and how they're a Martha. And I know other people, the exact opposite, right? They're really good at serving, but it's hard for them to slow down and be in a Bible study or slow down and be present in worship because they're wanting to do. And this discipleship is this balance of the two, right?
And do you feel like sometimes Satan can use that a little bit to get in our head? So rather than learning from you, because you might be someone who's able to be, and my go-to is always to do, I might point the finger at you and go, look at how wrong you're doing it, rather than what I can learn from you and what I can glean from that relationship from you and how you're walking.
Yeah, I think it's interesting whenever we draw the picture of a perfect Christian, like individually, that perfect Christian looks a lot like me. It's just that's how most people are, that we know our faults and our failures, but in the end, if we're really pushed on it, that I think the perfect Christian looks like me. And I think my point today is to allow yourself to be challenged by God's word and by other Christians in how you're being a disciple.
And then I think the other thing is sometimes people feel like, well, I got to be a better Christian. I got to be a better Christian. I got to be a better Christian, instead of understanding that discipleship will always exist this side of heaven, right?
Yeah. It's this lifetime of growth, this lifetime of adventure. Like if you ever think that following Jesus is boring, right? It's probably a sign that you maybe could engage a little bit more in the process, because we're never going to be there. We're always going to have more to do.
Yeah. So how do we embrace that it is going to be a marathon in a sense? And so I hear you say, just take the first step, just get in the word, just start talking to God and pray, be in those relationships. But then what do I do next? How do I go next level?
Well, I think some of that's going to work itself out. As you're in the Word, as you're with other people, as you're striving to do things for other people, right? That balance of sitting at Jesus' feet, of living for other people, as you're striving to do both of those, I think the opportunities, they will come. They will come for you to kind of push a little deeper into both of those. Like as one of our members, Harold Beneke, I'll use him for a moment. Like he loves scripture. We see that in him. And because he loves scripture, he's now having the desire for other people to know it. And so what he's starting to do is he's starting to teach more Bible classes, and he's doing a great job at it. But that came out of that place of that love for the word, that desire to do something for other people. And what's happening is as he's teaching, he's finding out that teaching actually has a benefit to him. It's making him dig deeper into the scripture. And so I think these two things, when we remember that it's almost like a ball bouncing off two different walls, right? It's going back and forth between the two walls of serving and discipleship. They actually grow each other. The more we serve, the more we want to get back into the Word. The more we're in the Word, the more we want to go out and serve other people because we're hearing what Jesus has to say. And so when we're starting to do little things in both of them, find a way to serve in your church, in your community. Find a way to be in scripture. It's going to grow exponentially.
And be in relationship.
Yeah.
Because what does that relationship do in discipleship?
Yeah, absolutely. Because other people can kind of see, they can challenge us in ways. When we're with people, we can be challenged in other ways. We can challenge them of, hey, you know, scripture's saying this, and is that how you're living? And scripture says to go out and serve, and I know that's challenging, but how's that looking for you? And so it gives us a place to build each other up, a place to challenge each other, a place to be seeking the same goal.
Yeah, Deb Harpham in my small group this week was talking about how she has a chair and a place where she is her quiet time. And sometimes mine is on the go. That's my personality.
Yeah.
But it made me hunger to maybe do that a little bit more in my life, to have that spot where I come and sit. She even referred to it as the war room, which is a principle of really being intentional on how you pray and really focused on that. that. And it was a good reminder to me that maybe I need to step up my game a little bit.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Is that okay that we look at somebody else and go, oh, I want a little bit of that?
Yeah, no, I think it's totally normal. And I, one of the things I've done is one of our members, Percy, he prays with me before late service every Sunday. And I think Percy has the gift of prayer and he's faithful to God. And so what I want to do is I'm not just being there because I need people praying over me, but he's discipling me. And maybe I haven't even used that language with him, but he's discipling me in prayer by just being around him when he prays. And so I think like there's that reality that is a growth that we have when we're with people. We are discipled by them. We're like the corporate world would use the word mentoring, right? That if I want to excel in my profession, I find someone that's a little ahead of me or somebody that I look up to that can mentor me. Well, the same thing is true in discipleship. Like if there's somebody that's a little ahead of me that I value as, you know, as a parent or as a missionary, as somebody that's in prayer or somebody that's studying the word, how can I get around them to learn from them?
And have the humility to understand that can be somebody younger also.
Yeah.
I love conversations with Courtney Menifee,
yeah,
who's, I think, a junior in college. And it's really great the times that we sit down and talk about scripture and talk about how it's working in her life, right? But there's times that her truth is really spoken into me and what God's teaching her. It doesn't have to always be somebody older or even our age. It could be our kids. It could be somebody in college, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the other thing that we, and I don't know why this is, but it's so often that in discipleship, we've looked at it as kind of studying and not lived out. Like, for instance, like I could talk about like skiing, right? I didn't just read a book and then go ski, right? I read a book and then I struggled on the slopes. So I'd use skiing too often. So scuba diving was really interesting for me. I got into scuba diving because I married into it. It wasn't my goal, but I married into it. So it became my goal to scuba dive. And so what I did is I took a class. It was, I think, 4 hours on a Saturday. And then the next day, I got in a pool with the tanks, with the equipment, and I got in the tank. I did it. And that's how I had to learn. And then we came back out of the tank, and we learned some more. And it was this balance of do and learn, do and learn. And I think that's what really discipleship needs to be. You're not going to learn to be a disciple by just sitting in a class. You're going to have to be in a class. You're going to have to do. You're going to have to sit at the feet of Jesus. You're going to have to go out and live it out. And I think the best way to learn how to do it is to live it out and then come back.
Yeah, I've been golfing for about the past 10 years. You're speaking my language now. Like, yeah, and every year I just hope to take a few more strokes off. It's not a thing I'm going to master, and I'm never going to be a part of the LPGA, right? Sorry.
Yeah, no, and I think, you know, and that's the reality of it is, if we remember that discipleship is always grace-centered, right? That it's not, your discipleship is not your value. What you do for other people is not your value. The Bible reading that you do is not your value. Your value is that Jesus loved you. He died on the cross for you. And in discipleship, we get to, yes, seek deeply into that. But what does it mean to be Jesus for the world?
Yeah, I think that's a great takeaway for today in our Jesus-centric leadership. So we want to thank you for listening to us today, and we'll look forward to seeing you in our next episode.